Well, let's look to the Word tonight. The title of the message tonight is The Besetting or Ensnaring Sin. The Besetting or Ensnaring Sin. I believe the Lord has a word to minister into our spirits tonight that can really help us and help our relationships, help our families, help us as we walk out our life. So let's look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the saints that have triumphed and gone on to glory, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. KJV, the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience, perseverance, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Two things are noted there. Writer says, let us lay aside every weight. A weight is something that weighs you down, puts drag on your system. Like too much feasting and not enough fasting. Too much entertainment, too much fun and games, distractions, wasted time, unprofitable things. Hebrews says, lay aside some of those weights that just hold you back from running this great, beautiful Christian faith and life. And then he says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And that's what I want to focus on tonight. The New King James Bible says of verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So it's something that falls upon us suddenly. It's something that comes upon us, not something that we come upon in ourselves. In other words, we're not initiating this. This besetting sin ensnares. It falls upon believers. Let us lay aside this sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So it's like a snare that comes upon us. The word beset, let's look at the definition. This word means to surround, the besetting sin or the ensnaring sin. It means to surround, easily encompassing, readily circling, ensnaring. What is this sin? What is this sin that we are to lay aside? Well, the interpretation, the besetting sin or the ensnaring sin is the flesh life. The sinful nature, the human struggle, the sin principle, the capacity to sin that persists in our members, or, as some of the ancient preachers put it, our common defilement. The besetting sin, the ensnaring sin, is this sin principle that lingers in us and remains in us until we go to be with the Lord or Jesus comes. It's the human struggle. It's the flesh life. It's the sinful nature that is there. And the Bible says, let us lay aside this besetting sin. Now, what it is not, the besetting sin, what it is not an overt act of sin. It's not like, well, every couple of months I just go out and fornicate or commit adultery. That's not a besetting sin. That's what the Bible calls an old sin. Or every few weeks this urge comes over me and I just go out and I just get drunk. That's my besetting sin. That is utterly unacceptable to call that a besetting sin. That's not a besetting sin. That's an old sin. or somebody says, every now and then I just kind of lose it. I get so frustrated and upset, I just can't help myself. I curse and swear and yell at people. That's my besetting sin. That's not a besetting sin. That's an old sin. Those are sins that are put off at the cross. They have no place in a Christian life. They have no place in us. Those are overt acts of sin. The besetting sin is not that. These overt acts of sin, like immorality and fornication and drunkenness and drugs and brawling, different things like lying, cheating, stealing, those are not besetting sins. They're old. Those are old sins. And 2 Peter 1:9 identifies this. The Bible says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins." So old sins are one thing. This besetting sin is the sin principle. It's what we deal with, the flesh life. We're monitoring and working out our salvation with fear and trembling every day, aren't we? You know, a young man in the house came to me 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's been saved a few years, like 6 years, around 30 years of age. Been saved for 6 years. And so I went up to him. I said, "Hey, how are you doing? And how was your week?" He said, "Oh man, it was twice this week, I got so upset. I just felt this anger coming up in me." He said, "I hate it." He said, "The flesh life is so annoying." I said, "You know, that is one of the best words I've ever heard to describe the flesh life: annoying." He said, "I can't wait to get to heaven and get rid of this flesh life." Well, there are three stages to Christian life. The first is justification. When you accept the Lord, all your past, all your sins are under the blood, thrown into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you forever. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned, clean, holy, righteous with the righteousness of Christ. That's what happens when we get saved. But then comes a lifetime of sanctification, where we have to continually separate ourselves unto God. Martin Luther says, "Ours is a constant and endless repentance, always turning from our own way to God's way." So we're working out our life in sanctification, and one day, the third stage, glorification. Justification, sanctification, glorification. We will have glorified new bodies. We will be made perfect at the coming of the Lord and live forever free of all stain, defilement, sin principle, sinful nature, forever in God's glorious new world. Hallelujah. You know, there's a beautiful illustration in the Old Testament to describe the struggle we face. God gave his people Israel an inheritance. He said, "I'm giving you the land of Canaan. From the entering in of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, a much larger portion of land than the little sliver they have right now." But God says, "I'm sending you in. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. There's vineyards and olive yards. There's great and wonderful blessing for you in that land. You'll have houses. The stones of that land are iron. You will be blessed in the land. Go in and take the land." And God sent them in. And it's called the Canaan Conquest. And there are different aspects of the Canaan Conquest, but the first part was that they were to conquer the land, and they went in and they broke the 7 enemy strongholds of that land. The Bible says they took the land. But then there was more. It wasn't just conquer. It was possess the land. And that was that they now had to rid the land of lingering pockets of enemy resistance. Conquest, the possession, to take the land and clear it. So it's one thing to conquer the land. It's another to possess the land. And we read in Scripture, "Neither did Manasseh drive out all the inhabitants. Neither did Zebulun drive out all the enemies. Neither did Ephraim drive out all the enemies. Neither did Asher. And on it went. They never came to a complete and full victory. And some of the tribes, some of the Israelites had to be chided. Joshua 18 and 3. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? He says, the land's been conquered, but you got to go now and rid the land of all those pockets of enemy resistance, or they'll become thorns and snares in your side. They will, I want to give you a victory so you live in liberty all your life, God said. You've got to clear out that besetting sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. It's one thing to get saved. It's another thing to bring forth spiritual life unto perfection. We heard the word this morning. The types of different types of soil or the ground that we are, what can happen? Can tread down the word, not receive it. The fowls of the air eat it. Rock, hard soil. Time of testing. People fall away. There's seed that falls among thistles and it chokes out the word. And Jesus said these words from this morning. He said, some bring forth no fruit to perfection. He said, some believers do not bring forth fruit unto perfection. It's not a ripened grain. It's not ripened fruit. They're halted in the process. Well, the Bible says we are to go on unto perfection. We are to bring forth fruit unto perfection. And that's why we walk out these Christians' lives with carefulness and with vigilance. 2 Corinthians 7. And verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That means outwardly and inwardly, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness, lives separated to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 13:9, for we are glad when we are weak and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, a ripened product, ripened grain, ripened fruit of the Spirit, people that are in the image of Christ. That's God's desire. So we have to deal with ourselves, don't we? We have to lay aside every weight. We have to lay aside the sin that so easily snares us and walk on with perseverance and serve the Lord. Galatians 5, 16 to 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the word lust in the originals simply means desire, desire. It's not necessarily as in our context today in the realm of immorality or impurity. Walk in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. He didn't say you might not be able to, or here and there. He said you cannot do the things that you would. This is humanly impossible. There's only one way we can, and that is by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The flesh is warring against the Spirit. Our recreated spirit, or the Holy Spirit inside of us, and the Spirit is warring against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. But as we submit to the Holy Spirit, we can overcome that struggle of the flesh life. We can reign and rule. Otherwise, we cannot, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, what are some besetting sins? What is this? Lay aside the sin which does so easily ensnare you, the sin which so easily besets you. Are there different besetting sins for different believers? I think obviously yes. What are some of these besetting sins? People struggle with different things. Some believers deal with frustration. They get annoyed easily. They get irritated. That would be a besetting sin. Besetting sin. Others depressing thoughts. They just get emotionally down. Just kind of go into a little bit of a depression. These thoughts and things bear them down. Others, anxiety, anxiousness, fearfulness, this apprehension, it comes on them. They don't want it. They hate it. We don't want it. I don't want it, but it's like a snare. It tries to settle. Other believers, maybe a negativity, tendency to negativity, just kind of complain and criticize. It just somehow there in their nature, their flesh life, that hasn't been won over yet. Some believers struggle with jealousy, envy, some low-grade resistance against the good fortune of others. Just kind of hits them once in a while. It's like a snare drops on them. Others still struggle with self-consciousness, inferiority, insecurity. Just like every once in a while, just the snare comes on them and tries to fall on them and affect their victory. These besetting sins. Besetting sins. They're there. We deal with them. You know, I should write a book called Identifying Your Besetting Sin. Identifying your besetting sin. You know, I know my besetting sin. I know that flesh life, this or that, that once in a while tries to ensnare me. Devil tries to throw that snare on you in the week. Well, if I had this book, Identifying Your Besetting Sins, you know, I think it would be very, very handy for courtship and marriage counseling. You know, you want to get married, and well, one of the things in this course, or you have to identify your besetting sin to your prospective groom or bride so that they know what they're going to be dealing with. So you don't get into the marriage in a few years and all of a sudden, you know, you always act like that. You always do that. You always say that. Why do you always go there? Well, I think a better way to deal with it would just be, that's my besetting sin. You know it by now. You've lived with me long enough. That's my besetting sin. Instead of arguing about it and getting testy about it, why don't you pray for me and help me to overcome it? Aren't you glad you came tonight? Besetting sins. These besetting sins try to snare the believer. Do our children have besetting sins? You raise your children, they're different. And you can see the enemy snare that he tries to put on them. Do teenagers have besetting sins? that struggle, that flesh life, the enemy trying to keep them from victory and beat them down. Maybe it would be better if we see those besetting sins in somebody, our children, people close to us, instead of getting reprimandful and getting tough and you got to change and you shouldn't be like that. Maybe you should say, son, daughter, I see what's going on. Let's pray together. It's like there's an area, you know, the enemy wants to bring you down in this area. I want to lift you up. God's going to help you. He wants to give you full victory in your life. This is an area of warfare in your life, and different people face different things. Different believers face different things. Besetting sins. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Does so easily beset us. This week, you know the tendency may be in your life and you'll be able to feel it. The enemy tries to drop a heaviness on you. Some struggle on your spirit, some struggle on your mind. You say, not today, Satan. This is a besetting sin. You're trying to snare me. I didn't walk into this. You're just trying to get me with it. I had no intention. I hate the flesh life. I hate this kind of response in me. I'm going to go with God on this today, and I'm going to win the victory over you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we lay aside this besetting sin, this encircling thing, this ensnaring thing? Well, we have to be alert. We have to be sober. We have to be on guard. We have to be prayerful and worshipful. Through maturity, through the Word of God, through Rhema Scriptures, as we develop and grow, we are able to more quickly discern and deal with the flesh life and bring forth fruit unto perfection. Romans 7:14-25. Paul speaking in the present tense, so it's something he's dealing with in himself. And we're talking about this capacity to sin that persists in our members, this low-grade, sinful nature. In the previous verses, he was talking in the past tense about his old life before Christ. But now he's talking in the present tense, so you know he's talking about a present condition. He said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me, that sin principle. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Just gets away on me. My emotions, my attitude, my words, my spirit. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law, another principle, another force in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want to give you a quote by H.J. Broke. I think this is so enlightening. He said, many Christians are taught that there is no such thing as deliverance from this inner sin called indwelling sin. Paul taught differently. There is a deliverer. In Romans 7:23, Paul said he saw a law in his members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? 7:23 and 24. He writes, yet sin's bondage can be broken inwardly as well as outwardly. Paul asks, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? And then declares, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Great men in all ages have felt the power of the sin of covetousness, that inner sin principle, but have finally obtained deliverance from it. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8, verse 2. Hallelujah. There is victory for us in Christ, and so we must labor and work against this besetting sin, the ensnaring sin, the sin principle in us. Let's have the worship ministry come as we close out. Let's close out with Acts 10 and verse 38. You know the story of what happened in Judea. It began in Galilee after John preached a total life change. Then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do all this because God was with him. God with us, Jesus with us. He went through the country helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. The devil likes to beat us down, doesn't he? Those besetting sins, those areas of struggle, those ensnaring things that we deal with that are different in different ones of us. But Jesus Christ comes to set us free. He came to heal everyone beaten down by the devil. Well, let's stand tonight. Maybe you've been dealing with a besetting sin this week, and you realize it. There is that snare again, that thing that comes on me that I hate. Struggle inside of me. Something gets to me. Somebody says something. Some circumstance put pressure on me, and there it is. I'm snared with my attitude, my feelings. I just get down. I lose the victory. Hallelujah. There's deliverance in Jesus Christ. The Lord wants to set us free so we don't get beaten down by the devil all the time, but that we walk on in a greater measure of freedom and liberty, live out our life, bring forth fruit unto perfection, and live for the glory of God. Let's yield ourselves unto the Lord tonight. Just let this word minister to you. Let the Lord heal you. Let the Lord touch you. Give you release. Maybe tonight for the first time you say, now I see it. I know my besetting sin now. And devil, because I know it, I can now see the warfare. And when that thing tries to slip over you again, you say, no, in the name of Jesus, I walk in the victory of the Lord. I'm going to beat this thing. I'm going to break this thing. I'm not going to get beaten down again today because I have victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, bless your life and bless your children and bless your spouse and bless your families and bless people in the church. See people struggle from time to time with certain things. It's no time to criticize, judge. Slip alongside them. Say, brother, sister, I want to encourage you today. I want to pray for you. God's with you. They may say, oh, I'm dealing with this or that. Yeah, I know. Let's ask God to help you and grow you and mature you and bring you forth as a true man and woman of God. So we praise the Lord tonight. While the altars are open, if you'd like prayer, let's close out with a surrender to the Lord.